Next, discussion and consideration of application to the Story County Housing Trust Fund for FY 2019. Notice of funding availability. Leanne.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Yes, definitely good afternoon.
This item before you is a response to notice of funding availability through the Story County Housing Trust Fund. Story County, even though we are one of the funders to the Housing Trust Fund, may also be an applicant through the process. They have released the NOFA for rental assistance. Its total amount of funding is about $114,000. Grant funds may be used for rent, utilities, deposits, and application fees. What we are proposing is a program to enhance our home-based Iowa program. It would be for rental assistance and rental application fees, again, complementary to the home-based Iowa program. Eligible applicants would qualify up to $2,000 for assistance. These applicants, however, would be required to meet would have to meet income eligibility requirements. So again, it's an enhancement to our home-based Iowa program and attempting to reach reach out to different audience than we've been able to with our current program. What else do I want to say? The proposal does include for up to 8 households, so 4 in year 1 and 4 in year 2 is a 2-year program. It does not in any way replace the program that Veterans Affairs does for rental assistance. It's, again, tied to our home-based Iowa program. I will be bringing forward changes May 21st to the home-based Iowa program, adding employment requirement back in. And so one of the appendices to the application for the NOFA does indicate some draft changes to our program, too. I just want you to be aware of that. We're asking for a total of $17,600, $16,000 for those 8 applications, and then we are able to request administration costs, so $1,600 for that. Do you have any questions?
I do. And as we talked about this, there was a meeting between Deb Shildroth, Leanne, myself, and Brenda Dreyer as we worked through this. And now that I see the numbers filled out on the application, going to item number 4. Okay, we're asking for $16,700 from the Story County Housing Trust Fund, and then we have $10,000 from us, but it says, is it committed? So where is this the same $10,000 that we voted to give to the Story County Housing Trust Fund?
No, this is the amount that Story County programs annually in your budget for the home-based Iowa program.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So now the way, though, that this will work, we perceive this working, is if someone comes and applies for rent assistance and they are above the threshold to be able to use $2,000 of the trust fund money, then that will come out of the $10,000 that we've already budgeted. So somebody could come in and get up to $2,500 from us, and it would all come out of the trust fund if their income is higher.
Only up to $2,000 out of the trust fund.
Up to the $2,000 out of the trust fund.
And then the additional $500 may come out of the $10,000 that's been committed by Story County. The additional $500.
If they're below.
If they're below, right.
I'm talking about above.
Oh, if they're
above. I want to point out that $10,000 that we budgeted out of general fund money, some of it will be used at $500, up to $500 a pop if their income's below the threshold. But if their income is above the threshold, the entire up to $2,500 comes from us. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how many families or veterans, because this is really a veteran moving into the county to take a job, we don't know how many people we actually will serve with that $10,000. If it's 4 people come dashing in the door right away who are all doing rental, and they have come from the military, so they haven't had their income's been rather restricted, and they're going to a particular job where their income is going to be restricted, like maybe they're getting into the nursing, CNA or something like that, then that money will come $2,000 from the trust fund and $500 from us. But, and we could do many of them. But if these, all the people who come for rental, then now asking for rental, if they're all coming in and they're going to be making above the threshold for the Story County Trust Fund, the entire up to $2,500 could come out of our $10,000 expenditure. So yeah, we could end up doing as little as four, and we could end up doing many, eight in 1 year.
Possibly, right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Any other questions? It's on your agenda today because the deadline is actually tomorrow. So I would like to have approval today and then have Supervisor Merkin sign it. And I'll get you a clean copy to sign, unless you might have one, pending approval today.
I didn't get that far yet. We'll check right afterwards to see if I need a clean copy. Is there a motion?
Yes. I would move that we approve our application into this program.
I would second that. Is there any further discussion?
I would just like to note that this, the Home-Based Iowa program had been asked about the ability to help veterans who would be renting when they were moving, and this fills that gap and allows us possibly to maximize our money here for people within a certain income range. So that's my statement.
Okay. Just one question, and this is, on one part of this report, I see a $16,700 for Story County Housing Trust, and another place I see a $17,600. Is there a reason for...
No, that's a good catch. Number four should be $17,600.
It should be.
It should be. When Loris was questioning that, I was looking at that. It's 17.6.
I didn't even add them up.
So I do need to print a new copy.
Okay. Would you?
So item
and
number
then,
four.
Then we're. Okay. So your motion, your understanding that.
My motion includes the 17.6 for consecutively.
Okay. Anything else?
None.
Okay. Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye.
Thanks.
And then you'll bring me something, and I'll sign it in a little bit. Thank you very much, Leanne, for your work on this. Department reports, Carla, Community Service.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon now, yes.
So this is our Community Services quarterly report covering the period of January 2019 to March 2019. Do you want me to go through the numbers? Or?
I've had an opportunity to look at it.
I've looked at it also.
Okay.
So we're good.
Yeah.
Good there. Okay. So as far as activity for the CICS region, we did submit our annual service and budget plan for FY20 to the state. That was due on April 1st, and you can find that plan on the CICS website if you'd like to take a look at that. It's outlining our planning efforts basically for FY20 and what we anticipate for expenses. As you had on your agenda today, the fiscal agent agreement with CICS to begin 7-1. We did have Madison County withdrew as of 6:30 as our fiscal agent, so we're happy that Story County is willing to serve in that manner. Story County was the only county that expressed interest in our region to do that, so we're very grateful to our auditor and treasurer's office for that. We've held two community meetings with providers, law enforcement, and other interested individuals to have some initial conversations regarding two new core services for adults that we need to develop in our region. That is an access center and then intensive residential service homes. Through the conversations that we had with those that attended the meetings, there was interest in looking at an access center network concept. So rather than setting up bricks and mortar type access center where the services that are required to be available are all provided in one location. We're looking at an option of having a lead agency who would coordinate those services that make up the access center. Those services are crisis stabilization, which we have available in our region through Mary Greeley Medical Center, substance use services, and then subacute services. The one service we don't have available right now is subacute, so we would need to be looking at development of that as well for our region. So we're exploring those concepts a little bit further. We're just in the initial planning stages, I would say, right now for both of those things. There was some big movement in legislation this session for us. The governor did sign into law the Children's Mental Health Bill, as well as another bill that changes the ending fund balance that regions can have up to 40%. And it gives us a couple more years to spend down our fund balances. So we'll be getting to, we need to wait for rules to come out on the children's mental health services. We anticipate those coming out by January. And then we'll need to do an annual service and budget plan that'll be due in April of next year to include the children's services.
Just amazed that it's going to take that long to get the rules, then we only have 3 months to do the plan.
That's my understanding. Yeah. Of course, if they came out earlier, that would be great. Give us some more time.
Let's hope they do. So.
The CICS Employment Committee, we met recently and continued a discussion that's been going on for a little while regarding looking at regional employment and related issues to that. No decisions have been made. We're in the seeking information phase right now. The discussion right now has been maybe through attrition. People could become regional employees, but there's a lot that would need to be worked out with that. A lot in action would be required, of course, by the governing board and that as well. So it's conversation right now.
Okay. While it's still in the conversation stage, I'm just wondering about impact on Story County. And I'm thinking of you particularly, Carla, because you work for us and you are our department head for community services, in addition to serving a role in CICS, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Yeah. The other hat I wear is with our general assistance program, which is a county function. So, yeah, those are things that we're talking about and mm-hmm. how would that work? What would it look like?
Right.
Certainly. For community services this quarter, I had the opportunity to work with Margaret James and Dr. Passion, the Board of Health Chair, to prepare a presentation. We did that on April 24th at the Iowa Governor's Conference on Public Health regarding our work with Crestview Mobile Home Park.
And I'm sorry I wasn't able to attend.
Okay. I believe the presentation went very well. We had people come up to us afterwards. And talk with us about it. And one individual indicated to us she found it very interesting, very educational, with a sense of humor in it too at times. So,
oh, good.
So it went well. I was glad to be able to work with them on that. We remain involved in several local committees, the Opioid Task Force, Nevada Substance Use Task Force, and the Nevada Substance Use Task Force is holding an event tomorrow evening starting at 6:30. It's at the Josephine Tope Performing Arts Event Center, and I believe they will also have a in-plain sight trailer available where individuals can go in and tour, and you get a sense of how things can be hidden in everyday household items, such as drugs and that, how it can be hidden in things that everybody carries in their house. So I believe that will be available. We continue to work with local agencies regarding coordinated intake process for rent and utility assistance. We've got a meeting set up on May 22nd with the Iowa State Association of Counties. They're helping us look at a database option. We had been talking with them about potentially using the Community Services Network. They wanted to, they would probably need to do some revamping to that system. So we've had conversations about looking at, is there a current product that's out there that could be used for what we would need it for, and then interface with Community Services Network. So we've got a meeting coming up on May 22nd, and they've actually invited other regions to the meeting, other county general assistance programs to the meeting to see if there is interest statewide potentially. So I'm looking forward to that. We continue to participate in county trainings that are available. And then Erin Rewertz, in her CVSO role, had 103 interviews with veterans or surviving spouses this past quarter.
Thanks.
Any questions?
Thanks. Once again, a good report. Really just said, hey, this is what we're doing and how much we're involved. Your staff, it's incredible what the different scenarios you guys might experience in given a day or two. Thank you.
Every day there's something new sometimes. So thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Carla. Okay, we are down to other reports, and Darren Moon is going to tell us about the gravel road conditions.
Hi, Darren.
Hello.
Well, I wanted to come and give you an update on gravel road conditions. I'm sure you've taken some complaint calls. We've taken literally in the hundreds of complaint calls. I think about half of them. First, I want to thank Bree Van Sickle. She's new to our office, and she's our first point of contact in the office, and she's become very good at answering these calls initially. She's able to handle most of them on her own now, which is great. She's been a huge help. About 50% of people call, listen to her explanation of what's going on. The other half just care about getting their road fixed immediately. They don't care why. So she's done a great job dealing with that. I want to go back to this slide. I gave you a little quick class on frost boils and what they are. Just a couple more things I didn't mention last time. One, this has pavement on the top. This is a good time to kind of remind the board, there's been comments out there, why don't you just seal coat these roads and do thin pavements? This is the reason we don't. The reason that water kind of gets wicked up from the bottom is because of the soil type in Iowa in particular. We have great soils for farming, but building roads, it's not so good. So when it wicks that water up, it's going to destroy the top of the road. And if it's paved with a thin pavement and ag equipment goes over it while it's soft like they are out there right now, it would absolutely destroy those pavements. And then there's nothing you can really do with them at that point. It becomes a real nightmare. So that's when somebody comes in and requests a thin pavement, that this is why we don't do them. If you look at our gravel roads right now, if you put something thin over the top of that, it does no good. A couple pictures of what we're dealing with. What the public doesn't understand, and I understand why they think this, they think just go out and shave that off. That's higher than it looks. Pictures don't do justice. It's like 2 foot up in the air in the middle. And it's all unstable mud underneath that. So we try to keep that top crust on there as long as we possibly can. First of all, the roads took a couple weeks just to support our motor graders. We couldn't even get on them for a while, so it looked like we were doing nothing. But we would have made them much worse by trying to even drive down them. But we don't shave that off because, one, if you shave that off, it's all unstable. The next rain you get is just going to sit in that hole, and it's there's no bottom to it, so you just sink out of sight. And there's a couple pictures in here later of ones we did shave off. This is one, it's got a frost boil. I think it was 2 miles long, 2 foot raised in the middle, and it was nonstop. And some of that's due to because we have hauling operations. I know farmers, they call in and they say, I've waited long enough, I've got to get feed. So I understand there's times when they can't do anything else but haul, but we've had some other hauling operations like the Stover hauling out, stuff like that, that probably could have waited, but we don't have a lot of control over that. But it just destroys the roads. This is one where we did shave off the frost boil quite a long time ago, and it got to that point. It just became unpassable, and it had a lot of houses on it. We had to put the barricades and actually close it, but we had to keep it open to get people to their houses. But that's why we don't cut the tops off, because it will create an absolute mud hole that we'll have to close the road. There's no getting around it. This is 19th Street south of Nevada. It gets so much traffic, we had to do something to it. So we tried to shave them off and put a bunch of rock in it, and the mud just continues to pump up through it. And like I say, the pictures don't do justice how rough that actually is. Just a close-up picture of a frost boil, you can actually see a slurry kind of pumping out of the middle of that. It just continues to pump out of that. And this is the worst I've seen in 25 years. I've been doing county engineer for 25 years and other counties as well, and they cross the entire state. I've never seen it this bad, and they've lasted so long, too. They just won't go away. It continues to pump out, so it's just going to take time to let these things settle out. We're on the roads as much as we can and hauling rock as much as we can. Took a picture of this is a private residence. Their driveway is doing the same thing as our roads. It's everywhere. Hit on the budget side of things a little bit. We have budgeted $825,000 for rock. That's materials only, but that does include some of the hauling when we contract haul Martin Marietta do our rock. Okay. That includes a little bit of a hauling, but our internal hauling is not included in that $825,000. So the amount we spend on hauling rocks probably, you know, 1.5 times that when you include the hauling in there. So we spend well over $1 million hauling a rock each year. Go ahead.
I'm going to let you. You may answer my question.
Yep. Okay. We have spent already over $400,000 hauling rock, just materials, in this FY. Rock hauling with Martin Marietta has been put on hold because they would actually do more damage hauling that rock out there than what we'd gain. And I'll show you a map of where that will go eventually. Hopefully, next month we'll get some down. I don't know if we'll get it all spent out of this fiscal year. So that's another reason why I'm not too concerned budget-wise. We're continuing to haul rock. Mm-hmm. Right now we're about right at our budget if you include the Martin Marietta hauling. So we're probably a little over budget right now hauling rock, but I don't think we're going to get all that $440 spent on Martin Marietta out of this fiscal year, so that will help budget-wise. It'll be next year when we'll have to sit down and talk about how much do we need to be spending on rock and adding to the budget. So just real quick on how our budget amendment works. You might not have heard this discussion before, but we have a DOT budget and a county budget for our roads. The DOT budget has four categories: administration, roadway maintenance, general maintenance, and construction. We can only exceed one of those categories by 10%. That's the maximum until you have to amend. So not only can you not exceed one of those by 10, but you have to make up for that 10% in one of the other categories. So you can't exceed your total budget at all.
So what it says up there can only exceed each category by 10%, but that's really one category.
You can exceed more than one, but 10% is the max it can go over, as long as you make it up for it in another category.
Is your cumulative max. Okay, thank you.
You should not have to amend again this year because of the bunch of factors. The construction hasn't been started, mainly because of the wet conditions, so we're not going to get the construction money spent that was already budgeted, so that'll carry over into next FY. So we've got the additional money there, so we won't have to amend again for rock, but I don't want people to think that's because we're stopped hauling rock. We're still hauling rock, but we'll be able to make it up for it in other areas. So that does mean we're spending money on rock that the board didn't approve in the budget for rock, so I want to make you aware of that, but I think you'll be agreeable to that, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It wouldn't take any official action. We'll just keep spending without an amendment. We can generally only spend like $100,000 to $150,000 a month hauling rock ourselves anyway. So if all of that Martin Marietta rock got hauled, we'd still be over by $100,000 to $200,000, and we'll be able to make up for that from other areas easily.
That's positive news.
Yeah.
I was not being as optimistic.
Again, next year's when we're going to have to talk about beefing up our rock budget.
Okay.
The roads are just so misshapen now. We're going to have to get them back in shape and add rock. And it looks like a lot of roads out here don't even have rock, but all the rock that was there is getting pushed down because it's so soft. So the rock's still under there. It just looks muddy. But every time we get a rain, it just looks like muck out there. That's why we're going to continue to get these rock or complaints every time we get a rain event.
And every time I get a call, I say, you know, we're going to have to spend more money next year.
Yeah. I'll get to the money issue
good
a little bit later
there,
here.
Linda.
This is the rock hauling contract for Martin Marietta Hall. It's just kind of east of I-35 all the way through the county. And like I say, we're holding off on this until the roads firm up enough where they won't destroy them. The other downside to holding off this rock contract is our dust control applications go down in about 2 to 3 weeks. So hauling rock after the dust control goes down is going to just create more complaints. But there's not much we can do about it. We already pushed off dust control 1 week because the roads just are too soft to even put dust control down on them. It wouldn't last long. We might have to look at maybe even another week of delaying that, but I think the rock haul is probably going to happen after the dust control is down, and that's something we just have to deal with. Getting back to some of the more money, and when people complain about the funding for roads and how much we're putting down in rock, this rock hauling contract, we put down 250 tons per mile. So every mile blue line there, we put 250 tons. That is equal to about a half inch thick of rock on that entire mile. It's not much. If we did that for the entire 700 miles in the county, that would be about $3 million a year we'd spend just to get the half inch. So people, when they comment how if you just get 2 to 4 inches of rock on this road, they'd be fine. 2 inches of rock would cost $12 million to put down today. But 4 inches, you can double that up. So you can see what we're talking about. So we're trying to get by with what we have available. I'm used to doing that, but this year the weather conditions just didn't cooperate, and there's only so much we can do.
Darren, you mentioned Bree taking so many phone calls, and you're taking phone calls. I assume everyone else is,
yeah,
too. Would you say, what, 10% or of your time now is being spent just on answering those, or 20? Do you?
They tapered off some. We did put a press release out, and I saw it got a lot of hits on Twitter and Facebook. I think that reduced the call some, little understanding of what we're dealing with. So they have tapered off some, but they still come, especially after we get a rain event. They're going to come in again tomorrow, I'm sure.
Okay.
I really couldn't put a percentage to it. And Bree's handling most of them. She explains to them we'll make up a work order and get to them as soon as we can. And that kind of comes to my next discussion, okay, on people's expectations. It's something we just can't meet right now. These are the motor grader districts. We have 10. Each district has about 75 miles. When we blade roads, you have to go down and back. So multiply that by 2 if you're talking the distance you have to travel. So that's 150 miles a motor grader has to go at 5 miles per hour. That's under ideal blading conditions.
Patience.
So that's 30 hours just to get through their district. It normally takes them a week to 2 weeks just to get through their district once blading. With the conditions we have now, they're typically waiting for a rock truck to come, because every time they blade off a frost boil, they have to wait to get rock on it and smooth it out. They can't just leave it, otherwise the car would get stuck in it. So, I mean, we're only getting probably 5 to 10 miles a day right now, at the most.
You're talking all 10 districts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. So when people call and say, I just get out here and blade this off now and it'll be fine, it's like they don't understand what we're dealing with and to the level. Mike Evans down in the southwest corner, he was about due for retirement, but yesterday he had enough. Now it's gave his 2 week notice. I understand he's dealing with a lot of complaints, and he gets stopped on the road too, and there's only so much he can do, and he's just reached his limit. And I think we have another motor grader operator kind of here in today. He's kind of heading down that same road, getting extremely frustrated. They've done an excellent job these past 3 months going straight from, you know, winter maintenance into this terrible spring thaw, and it's been a lot to deal with, and I can tell you they're doing everything they can and they care, so that's why it's so hard on them, because they're getting it's hard to get a lot of complaints when you're doing everything you possibly can to fix it.
Especially that it has, it's been so long since we've had this bad of winter for road conditions. So,
what can we do? I mean, I know we're saying thank you to everybody tomorrow. Hopefully they all come in and we can thank them individually. But is there something else that we can do, Darren?
I think just if, when the public calls and complains to you, just explain to them it's just going to take time. Just because you don't see somebody get out there tomorrow doesn't mean we don't care and we're not doing everything we can. It's going to take time for it to settle out this year. It's the worst we've ever seen. It's statewide. Everybody's dealing with this, and we're doing what we can. I think that's the most you can do right now. And then, like I said, next fiscal year, we're going to have to look at adding some more to rock just to get things back in shape.
Well, and you've given good information that's helped me because I've been getting, you know, most of the calls that come here, which is like a tip of the iceberg, I know. But you know, just knowing why we can't get the graders out now, that we're going to make more trouble, you know, if we do. And you explaining to us what frost boils were, I've seen them all my life, but I didn't know. You know, exactly how that worked. Just to be able to get information to people and explain to them that we're quite aware. And I know you've gone out a couple times when there's just one and done some things, but that you can't get out everywhere and solve everybody's problem. And
my last couple slides up here are the last resort conversation with landowners that talk about how much taxes they pay. I'll get to that at the end. Let me hit, this is our current road closure map. Some of them got so bad. Most of these are probably due to the hauling operations on them. We've actually had to close these roads. They just, or cars were getting stuck in them, so we had to close them. We tried to keep everybody with access to their homes, but two or three that dropped off the list today. Things are starting to dry up a little bit, and they were able to get through some of these miles and get them back open, but we still have a handful on this road closure map. There's a picture of some of that are closed. It's hard to see in the picture behind it, but you can see the white rock on the road. We've tried to get it open, and it's just our motor graders would sink out of sight, and there's no way a car could get down them. And this one has a residence right in the middle of the frost boil bed, and we put a lot of rock in there. It's hard to tell, but on the right side, that's 2 to 3 foot high dirt. We windrowed over to the side just to get the muck off and just trying to keep it open for people to get access. So I hate to say it, but if you can get to your house and if you have to go over on the side of the road to get there without bottoming out and you have access, I feel somewhat fortunate you can at least get to your house because there's some that's extremely difficult to even get down. There was a couple roads we absolutely had to get something done with. They get so much traffic. This is Peterson Pitt Road, 180th. We had to core it out. This is a long, major frost boil, and the only thing you can do to get rid of that or try to help is core it out. That's probably a little over 2 feet deep. It was over 100 foot long, and then we got to fill that all with rock, so it's very expensive, but we had to do it on this hill. Probably cost $10,000 to $15,000 to do that. I mean, you could rock, you know, 2-3 miles with that rock, but so we had to do that here to get this back open, and then this was on 270th South in Nevada. A lot of homes in this area. It just got to the point. I know Joe Quaker lives on this road. His son got stuck in the frost boil. Tractor pulled him out, and we had to do something just to get people to their homes. So we had to core this one out. It was about the same size. Fill it back with rock. So we only had to do it in these two spots, but this is another thing the public asked, why don't you just come out and dig it out? This took a day or two on each site, and it cost $10,000 to $15,000. You just can't do that on 700 miles of roads. So that's why you kind of just got to let them sit and take time to heal themselves. It's frustrating. But so the last discussion on the tax, I don't ever bring this up first, but when somebody calls and just keeps harping on how much taxes they pay, this is what I pull out. This happens to be somebody that was a complainer, and $250,000 rural acreage. You can see under Story County, out of their $3,200 tax bill, they send $947 to the county out of that. Out of that, FY19, Story County took in $25 million in property tax revenue. Secondary roads receives $2.6 million out of that, about 10%. So take that 10% times the 947 they sent to the county. You have $97 they paid towards roads. That won't pay for a quarter load of rock. technically, they also pay fuel tax, so I just made the assumption they have two cars at 15,000 miles a year on those two cars. Average that all out. That comes to $450, and a third of that comes to the counties. Cities and state get the other thirds. So that's another $150. So in total, they pay about $247 to secondary roads per year, and that is about the cost of a load of rock.
How many loads of rock did you have to put in that frost boil that you dug out?
Oh, yeah, 20 or 30.
20 or 30?
Yeah.
You can't do that for one person.
No. That's where the finances just don't add up. We have a road every mile in Iowa for ag purposes, and a lot of rural residents live out there. And for the most part, the farmers understand. Most of our complaint calls are from the acreage residents that don't farm. And
could I have a copy of that slide?
Yes, I will. I
will email a PDF to you on this.
That'd be great.
Thank you. I bet that was a little therapeutic, too.
Yeah, to and I don't want to use it as an excuse, but it's reality. Right. And it's what we're dealing with for funding, and we just can't go re-rock the entire county. But we rock about a quarter of the county a year, and that's about what we can afford. And, and we have other issues we have to deal at the same time, the emergencies. This is one we just dealt with a week or two ago. The slough's off, and we've got to get to these right away, and this was from the flooding. But we're dealing with other things, too, besides the roads, but our focus is almost all on roads right now. We're pulling everybody we can to haul rock, and we're not opening up any other jobs unless they're absolutely necessary. But that's the condition of the roads, and we're dealing with it the best we can. It's been a long 3 or 4 months. But
I think we're very fortunate to have you, have your crews. You've got a lot of experience. You've got a lot of experience then on your crews. I'm sorry to hear about the recent resignation, and maybe a good burrito breakfast tomorrow, a change of mind or two if they're thinking there. But this has to be so stressful on all of you. So thank you for hanging in.
Doing a great job, and they care, I can tell you that.
Well, we get reminders every day when we see the road closure notices you send out.
Yeah.
That it's tough out there, and you're doing a great job. So thank you, and we'll see you and your staff tomorrow.
Yep. Thank you.
I do have one question. I'm sorry. So 220 that turns into Avenue T, just north. I tried to take the gravel a couple times, and I just, you know, it's just so messed up. But I'm seeing those semis. They're coming out of Ames on Lincoln Way, or they're coming out of Key Co-op or whatever, and they're taking, they're going up their 600th to 220, and they're tearing up that road terribly. Is T part of Nevada now, or?
There's a portion T to the east of S-14 is city.
Okay.
And to the west.
To the east, but west is, because I'm telling you, but okay. So I know somebody's been out there, because I've seen that there's blocking around a small, I think, frost boil or whatever. But I just see what's happening, and I'm running into semis there. And I know you can't do anything about
it. Got another hauling operation going on today on 282nd. South of Ames, and it's an important road. A lot of acreage is on that one, and they're just tearing it up. And you can embargo roads for 90 days, but anything ag is exempt from the embargo, so it doesn't do much good to even embargo roads.
All right. Thank you.
Okay,
thanks.
Darren, I need to get a signature from you.
Okay.
And then Leanne, you're up next. So.
She's back again.
Thanks very much. Okay, Leanne Harder to talk about the Ames Economic Development Commission for economic development plan contracts with them, excuse me, for economic development planning and workforce development services for FY20.
This will be fast. I didn't receive any feedback from the board, so what you have on your agenda will go to AEDC next for their review, and then come back officially for you in the next couple weeks or so.
Okay.
It's just housekeeping, really.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you for waiting around for that. Okay. Upcoming agenda items. I don't think I have anything to add or note. Do you, Loris?
Our story contract or our discussion about what we're doing with our story will come within the next couple weeks.
Okay.
And I don't know when or if this will become an agenda item, especially if we decide not to spend any money, but just for information purposes, have started discussions on how we might archive photos. And Leanne and Deb and I met on that, and I think they've got great ideas, and they're going to go research here and just figure out how we could how people could easily find some general use shared photos for publication or for a report or something, but without getting way down deep into the archive process. So that's it, what I had on possibilities, except for what we've already discussed.
Okay. I have nothing to add. Public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on the agenda. I don't see anybody from the public here. Anybody else have anything they want to take a 30 seconds on? Okay, then. Liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors. Loris?
I'll be gone all next week. It is the lobby trip to Washington, D.C., but I'm taking Monday to travel so I get a little extra time, and then I'm taking Friday and Saturday. I have a niece that lives in D.C., so I'll see you guys then that Monday after the 20th.
And I'll be on that trip as well, so we'll have a claims-only agenda for next week, and Rick Sanders will chair the meeting from here, and we'll contact somebody so we have a vote so we can approve claims, and I think that will be it then, and then other agenda items should come the week after. Is there a motion for adjournment?
I move.
Second, and we're adjourned.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.